John chapter 19, in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1141. We'll read the first five verses of this chapter. John 19, verses 1 through 5. We'll read the verses responsively, please, taking note of the fifth verse, the text verse. And may we please all stand for the reading of God's Word. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Together also in verse 5. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." And let's pray.
I want to speak this morning on the words of Pilate when he saw Jesus coming, and after he had scourged him, or had him scourged, and after he had placed the robe on his back, walking stick in his hand and crown of thorns on his head, Pilate said, "Behold the man." I want to speak today on the subject, "Behold the man." Our Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts in these moments as we examine the man, Christ Jesus. In his name, amen. John the Baptist was yet in the womb of Elizabeth. He leaps for joy when his mother and the pregnant Mary talk to each other. And there in the womb of Elizabeth, John the Baptist, yet unborn, was filled with the Holy Spirit. He knew even then that his one great purpose in life was to introduce Jesus to a lost world. For 30 years, he had waited for that day. He knew before he was born that his job was to point to Jesus. He knew in his childhood that someday the great time would come when he would point to Jesus and present him, introduce him as the Savior of the world. Now the day has come. John the Baptist sees Jesus. It's time to point to him and introduce him to the lost world. I wonder how he will introduce him. I wonder what he's going to say. He had so many choices. He could have introduced him in many ways, one of many ways, because the Bible had spoken so much of our Lord. John the Baptist could have looked to Genesis and taken from that book and said, "Behold, the promised seed." Or he could have looked to Exodus and pointed to Jesus on the banks of the Jordan and said, "Behold, the Passover lamb." Or he could have looked to Leviticus and pointed to Jesus on the shores of Jordan and said, "Behold, the scapegoat." Or he could have looked at Numbers and said, as he pointed to Jesus as his introducer, he could have said, "Behold, the brazen serpent." Or he could have looked to Deuteronomy and said, "Behold, the great lawgiver." Or he could have looked to Joshua and said, "Behold, the prophet, the priest, and the king." Or he could have looked at Judges and he could have pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold, the judge of all the universe." Or he could have looked to Ruth and said, "Behold, the kinsman redeemer." Or he could have looked to Samuel and said, "Behold, the anointer of kings." Or he could have looked to Kings and pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold, the King of Kings." Or he could have looked to Chronicles and said, "Folks, behold, the great historian." Or he could have looked to Ezra and said, "Behold, the rebuilder of the temple of God." Or he could have looked to Nehemiah and said, "Behold, the builder of the wall of security." Or he could have looked to Esther and said, "Behold, the Savior of Israel." Or he could have looked at Job and said, "Behold, the friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Or he could have looked to Psalms and pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold, the song of all the universe, sweetest note in seraph song." sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. Or he could have looked to the Proverbs and shouted, behold the truth. Or he could have looked to the Song of Solomon and said, behold the great lover. Or he could have looked to Ecclesiastes and said, behold the greatest preacher who ever opened his mouth to preach the message of redemption. Or he could have looked to Isaiah and said, behold the wonderful counselor, prince of peace, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. He could have looked to Jeremiah and pointed to Jesus on the banks of the Jordan and said, behold the weeping prophet. Or he could have looked to Lamentations and said, behold the one who laments over the sins of the world. Or he could have looked to Ezekiel and said, behold the reconstructor of the millennial temple. Or he could have looked to Daniel and said, behold the stone cut out without hands that will break in pieces the kingdoms of this world and establish a kingdom that will cover the earth with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. Or he could have looked to Hosea and said, behold, the great forgiver, the great lover, the great restorer. Or he could have looked to the minor prophets and said, behold, the one who came in Bethlehem of Judah. But of all those things he could have spoken about, he could have said, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah. He could have said, behold, the bread of life. He could have said, behold, the living water. He could have said, behold, the way, the truth, and the life. He could have said, behold, the good shepherd. Behold, the chief shepherd. Behold, the great shepherd. He could have said, behold, the true vine. He could have said, behold, the lily of the valley. He could have said, behold, the bright and morning star. But he didn't choose those words. He chose the most great, or the greatest need of mankind when he pointed to the Lamb of God and said to that one whose feet were to tread the shores of Galilee, for 33 years lived on earth as God incarnate. And John the Baptist said, ladies and gentlemen, I now introduce to you, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. For over 1,500 years, once a year, Jews had brought a lamb. Once a year, each household had brought a lamb to the altar of sacrifice on Passover Day. And yet every lamb that was offered, every bleating lamb, every lowing oxen, every fluttering dove or pigeon that was offered as a sacrifice, pointed to that day when John the Baptist would say, forget your lambs now. No more need for Passover. The Passover's come. No more need for lambs. The Lamb of God is come. No more need for sacrifice. God's great sacrifice has now come. And John the Baptist could say, behold, the Lamb of God. All over this room this morning, there are people who are not sure you'd go to heaven if you died. All over this room this morning, there are people, you don't know that your name is written in the book of life. And this morning, I say to you, some say, behold the Eucharist. That won't do it. Some say, behold the sacrament. That won't do it. Some say, behold the communion table. That won't do it. Some say, behold the baptistry. That won't do it. Some say, behold the church. That won't do it. Some say, behold the confessional booth. That won't do it. Some say, behold the confirmation day. That won't do it. The message of hope to a lost and dying and sinful world is wrapped up in those words of John the Baptist who pointed to Jesus and said, ladies and gentlemen, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And the whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunlight at noonday, his glory is shown in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light. It is shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. And once I was blind, but now I can see. And what you need today, in order to be sure you're going to heaven when you die, you don't need the church yet. That's after a while. You don't need the baptistry yet. That's after a while. You don't need the communion table yet. That's after a while. You don't need your good works yet. That's after a while. You don't need denomination yet. That's after a while. You don't need the sacrament yet. What you need is to say, I'm a sinner, and I point today and say, look at Calvary and see God's Lamb, God's perfect Lamb, God's only acceptable sacrifice for sin. And you'll never walk golden streets, nor walk through gates of pearl, nor live in the celestial city, unless you bow before him who's on that cross and say, Jesus, the Lamb of God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I'm lost, and I know I'm condemned, and I know I'd go to hell if I died now. But I know you died for me. I know you're my substitute. I know you're my sacrifice. You put your faith in not what you do, but what He did. Not what I do, but what He did. Not what this church does, but what He did. Not what the priest does, but what He did. Not what the Pope does, but what He did. And the minute you put your faith in Him, then you can say, my name is written in heaven. I'm a child of God. And if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pilate had scourged Jesus. The soldiers had planted a crown of thorns and placed the crown of thorns on his brow. They put on him a purple robe, a mock robe, a soldier's overcoat, maybe. They placed a walking stick in his hands to imitate a royal scepter. They prepared a cross for his body as a crown for the King of Glory. And Pilate looks at him and sees him as he comes bearing his cross, as he comes wearing his plaited crown of thorns, as he comes holding the borrowed walking stick and the overcoat, and the people are shouting, "Behold the King of the Jews! Behold the King of the Jews!" And Pilate, who knows better, that dirty yellow coward Pilate, who knew that Jesus had no sin, who knew that Jesus was the Son of God, but for the fear of man he rejected his Savior and condemned his own soul to the damnation of hellfire. But Pilate looks up and says, "Behold the man! Behold the man!" This morning all of this building are people who have beheld the Lamb. You have beheld the Lamb of God. You have heeded John the Baptist's admonition. You've looked to Jesus as your Savior. You've looked to Jesus as your substitute. Your sins are forgiven. Your name is written in heaven. If you died today, you'd go to heaven. And I say to those this morning who've already trusted Jesus, the words of Pilate, "Behold the man." I say to you, behold the man. Behold his love, and love like he loved. Behold his life, and live like he lived. Behold his words, and speak like he spake. Behold his forgiveness, and forgive like he forgave. Behold his mercy, and be merciful as he was merciful. Behold his grace, and be gracious as he was. Behold his work, and work like he did. Behold his faith, and believe as he believed. Behold his message, and preach what he preached. Behold his tears, and weep like he gave. Behold his giving and generosity, and give as he gave. Behold his prayers, and pray like he prayed. Behold his songs, and sing like he sang. This old hungry, sin-cursed world is looking to see Jesus, but the only chance they'll have to behold a man is to behold men and women and young people and boys and girls now in this age who can reflect the Savior and show to people what the Savior was like. 2,000 years ago, the boy was born. What a wonderful life he lived. He was the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. Behold, a son is born. A child is given. And a son is born. He was the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. And now, here is this boy. For 33 years, he lived on this earth. And what a wonderful life he lived. When he saw people who were hungry, he fed them. When he saw people who were cold, he clothed them. When he saw people who were lonely, he comforted them. When he saw people who were sad, he cheered them. When he saw people who were lame, he healed them. When he saw people who were without, he gave to them. What a wonderful life. The perfect life. Not God, but man. Not God walking with men, but a man living the perfect life as a man ought to live that life. What a wonderful life it was. And yet there's something very sad about the life of Christ. Something that makes me weep when I think about the life of Christ. And that was this. It was confined to one little geographical area on this earth. Only one little place, 40 miles wide maybe, 60 to 80 miles long maybe. He never went to China. China never saw him. Asia never saw him. Russia never saw him. England never saw him. France never saw him. Germany never saw him. United States never saw him. Canada never saw him. Just one little country in one little place, corner of the earth, saw this wonderful life. But there's something else that's sad about that life, and that is it was confined to one little chronological period of 33 years. Nobody before ever saw him unless he made just an occasional appearance, as he did to Joshua as the unseen captain, as he did to the angel of God to Jacob, and as he did to the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace when he appeared as like unto the Son of God. But nobody saw him except in that one little geographical period. And God conceived the plan. And this is the plan that God devised. God conceived a plan whereby every nation in the world could see the life of Jesus. God conceived a plan whereby every state in every nation could see the life of Jesus. God conceived a plan and devised a plan where every city in every state in every nation of the world could see Jesus. God conceived and devised a plan where every neighborhood, in every city, in every state, in every nation of the world could see Jesus. God devised a plan where every home, in every neighborhood, in every city, in every state, in every nation of the world could see Jesus. God devised a plan where everybody at Inland Steel could see Jesus. God devised a plan where everybody at Bowman Standard could see Jesus. God devised a plan for every schoolroom and every office and every factory and every plant could see Jesus. And the plan that God devised was to say, behold the man and be like him. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. All I ask to be like him, all through life's journey, through hill and valley, all I ask to be like him, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, oh, to be like thee, pure as thou art. Come in thy goodness, come in thy sweetness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. And ladies and gentlemen, this morning I say to you who have beheld the Lamb of God, it's time we beheld the man and showed this old sin-cursed world how he loved and showed them how he forgave and showed them how he worked and showed them how he gave and showed them how he shared and showed them his mercy and showed them his compassion. Yet the honest truth is there are people that work in your office that never seen him, and that's a disgrace to your life. They have a right to see him. They have a right to see him. And God has made it possible for that same Holy Spirit that made him the man of God that he was to dwell in you and in me so others may be able to see him. Let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. Keep telling the story. Be faithful. Be true. Let others see Jesus in you. Behold the man. And then, through the telescope of prophecy, Zechariah looked down into the future. And Zechariah, as he looked through that telescope of prophecy, he saw the day when each of us would see Jesus. And Zechariah said, behold the King. Behold the King. To those of you who are not saved this morning, I say, behold the Lamb of God. To those who are saved, I say, behold the man. To those of you that are nearing the other shore, I say to you, behold the King. Behold the King. I was thinking about Matthew. He and I have a lot in common. He is going to heaven. I too. Maybe before him, maybe after him, who knows? I too am going to die. And there's somebody I want to meet. And I sent word ahead. I'd like to meet him. And he sent me a ticket. Paid for. Yeah, I called Miss McKinney. I said, Miss McKinney, make a reservation for Matthew. Paid. You didn't pay a dime for this. You didn't. Matthew didn't. No, it's all paid for. All paid for. Yeah. And Jesus sent me a ticket all paid for. And then we heard that Matthew could come and his parents could come. We got busy preparing for him. We got a room. Prepared for the meal. Said, signed the check. All prepared. And Jesus has been for 2,000 years preparing for me. Now the question comes, what did Matthew have to do? Lying there, he couldn't do anything. I'd have said, Matthew, get baptized and I'll meet you. Matthew, the parents had said he can't get baptized, he's too sick. Matthew, start tithing and I'll meet you. Shake your hand. He couldn't have done it because Matthew has no way to tithe. I'd have said, Matthew, do some good deeds, do some good works. Matthew couldn't have done it. All Matthew could do was come. That's all he could do was come. He lays there on the front pew this morning. There's nothing else he can do. Now, I want you to picture that little boy laying there this morning. Now, I want you to hear me well, you good works crowd. I want you to hear me well. You are as helpless to get to heaven and as helpless to get saved or do anything in this world to have your sins forgiven as that boy is right there today. Not the good that I have done, simply to thy cross I cling. That's it. And then it may be on the airplane going back. It may be before the airplane. It may be a little while later. Whenever the Lord gets ready, the Lord's been in need of a little 7-year-old boy in heaven for quite a while. So he reached down to earth and decided to find one of the finest boys. You say, what do you know about him? You know he's so fine. You know him? Never met him until you saw him a while ago. How you know he's a fine boy? Because he likes me. He can't be all bad. And God said, I'd like to have a 7-year-old boy up to heaven. And then Matthew will heed the admonition of Zechariah, as will you and I one day. And Zechariah said, behold, the King. Sing it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strange. Lead Him in the light of His glory and grace. If you're not saved this morning, behold the Lamb of God. If your name is in heaven and you beheld the Lamb of God, behold the man. And if this morning it seems like that heaven is closer than it has been for a long time, I say in just a while, you'll behold the King. Our Heavenly Father,